just walking down Industrial Avenue off Main Street. Going to meet local artist Sara Mulchan at the Arts Factory, which is where her studio is. You can see that there's Vancouver Mural Festival murals outside the building. It's big, long, blue. So let's go on in. Last week, I met Sara to talk about her upcoming art show this Friday, August 23rd. It's called Love/Madness, and it's all about social media, how we curate ourselves online, why we want attention, and some of the universal things we do with our phones, but don't always admit.
Whether it's like sharing screenshots of conversations with your friends, or...
We've all done it.
If you think you haven't done it, you absolutely are lying right now to yourself, mostly. But even just sharing content that's not necessarily your own.
And like an Instagram story vanishes in 24 hours, so will Sara's show. So let me take you into her studio to learn more about the one-day painting show and her relationship with social.
My name is Sara Mulchan. I am a visual artist in Vancouver, Canada, and I am a large-scale conceptual figurative painter.
And so, can you tell me what we're looking at right now? Like, what's the space like?
The space is about 100 square feet, and we're surrounded by several paintings. Some of them are the large-scale portraits that will be in the show on August 23rd. Colorful, photorealistic, playful, and all self-portraits.
Just as I'm looking around, I'm seeing what looks like to me like a very unified kind of color palette. So how would you describe your style and how they all connect together?
So definitely contemporary portraiture, but also I rely a lot on the use of pink. Pink is an escapism color, so it alludes to the idea and the hope of love and romance, but also fantasy and an escape from reality. So when I'm thinking about creating like a digital identity that's not actually in the digital sphere, pink makes sense because it represents an escape. So, and then pink is also feminine, but an excess of pink can also mean being like emotionally claustrophobic.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Psychology of color for you. So for me, pink is, there's just so much with pink. Pink is also traditionally a masculine color. There's just so much to pull from with the color pink, and it's also completely synthetic, kind of like social.
Another unnatural part of social is how it can take us out of the present. Sara wants people at the show to fully immerse themselves in her work, and she added an augmented reality component to 6 of the paintings, which you can only see in person.
One thing that I can only talk about so much through the paintings is there's an image and you're kind of filling in your own blanks. And I loved the idea of kind of planting Easter eggs within the paintings that allow you to have an additional experience. So without being at the show on the 23rd, you will miss out on that experience because it can't be replicated without being within the space. So I thought one of the things that I always kind of like is through internet culture is the discovery of Easter eggs, where there's a connection between several films or several books. And people are like, oh, well, they planted this thread and then there's one here. And not a conspiracy theory, because it's literally proved as something that exists. Disney is a really great example of that, where they will plant characters from other films in new films and old films, and you'll see these like reoccurring kind of, it's for the fans, it's for the people who understand. And I kind of want to give everybody this like insider status. So where they get to learn something new about the piece that they wouldn't have gotten to know if they only viewed it through a screen. So they have to be here in person and see it.
Sara's work also plays with self-image, how we curate ourselves on different social media platforms like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and even LinkedIn.
I have always been interested in social media and the way that we curate our own online image. With the advent of the internet, especially as a millennial, we often brand ourselves a certain way. So for me, I find it interesting to see how I brand myself and how I choose to curate myself. And as an artist, it's always interesting to take things out of context. So for me, bringing a digital experience into an analog format and then incorporating additional digital elements back into it is an interesting conversation to start.
And I saw on your Facebook page, your motto is social media, but make it art. Can you tell me a bit about that and why social media is the particular thing that you focus on in a lot of your art?
So part of that is a pop culture reference. It's an overused trope for joke formats, either on Twitter or through memes. And it's the idea of take something, but make it something. So one of the things, it kind of spanned from America's Next Top Model, so reality TV, where she says, do this, but make it fashion. So
yeah.
I immediately was like, do this, but make it art. And I've been kind of thinking about that for a while. There's this whole debate around the self-portrait, specifically the selfie, and whether or not it's a valid art form. So I'm like, well, what if I take it and elevate it by painting it the way that we used to paint it? Because there's this argument that people are like, oh, well, people just take selfies now. And then they forget that before there were selfies, we would literally labor over a painting for hours and upon hours to get a portrait of yourself. So it's instantaneous now. And then I've also taken it and made it a labor-intensive, time-consuming project.
Can you tell me a bit? Instagram, the photo-sharing platform with over 1 billion users, is filled with selfies. There are more than 400 million posts that use the hashtag selfie. Sara finds it hard to believe the platform launched less than a decade ago, in October 2010. It was around the same time that Sara graduated from her first fine art degree.
I graduated from my first degree in 2011. Social was, it wasn't all-consuming the way it is now. And Instagram was also like just coming up. Like it was a very new child. I think there's often this, it feels like it's been around forever at this point, but it really hasn't. And then as I went back to school, because I decided to pursue a more theoretical practice instead of a technical one, I realized that social media was not only a great resource in terms of getting, well, unsolicited critiques, but also solicited ones. You could also create a really interesting community. So there are so many wonderful aspects of social, but there are also some really negative ones. So after I graduated in 2015 from Emily Carr, which was my second BFA, I had my 15 minutes. So I went viral. So I had a really interesting experience with social. I went viral for paint mixing. It was like, it's almost embarrassing, but I was so disappointed in the work I was creating at the time. I was only showing behind the scenes aspects of my practice. So one of the things that I was showing a lot was mixing paint, and I kind of fell into this trend that had happened without knowing that it was already a thing. And it just blew up, and I said yes to everything because why not? But with that came that sort of surge in visibility, also came a surge in like the really dark side of social media. So bullying, trolls, things that existed kind of on the peripherals of my online experience. So when I decided to reevaluate my practice after that, social media has just become so ingrained in who I am as an artist, it almost seemed ridiculous to ignore it. So
Can you tell me a bit more about going viral? Like, where did this video travel and what kind of things, I guess, both good and not so kind, if you're comfortable talking about it, were people saying about a paint mixing video?
So the first video I made was November of 2015. It was a stop motion of mixing an entire palette, and nothing really came of that. And then in January, I had created a close-up clip because someone had requested it. And I was like, oh, look, someone actually wants to see something I'm doing. And as an artist, like, you want to be seen. You want to exist. So I started sharing that content. That content doesn't exist on my profiles anymore. I redacted it completely when it was time for me to move on. But that content traveled all the way across the world. So I had media coverage from several US publications. A talk show in the Netherlands talked about me on a late night TV talk show. There was an article posted in German with Broadly by Vice, and it just kind of flew across the world. And part of me is like, it was my 15 minutes, but it was like a year of nonstop things popping up about me. And all of the media coverage was really positive. It was the backlash from the audience that was really hard to deal with. So there were a lot of really low-key aggressive comments, I guess, claiming I was wasting paint, that I wasn't actually a painter, that which to me was ridiculous because I was also posting my paintings at this point. And then as much as those were okay, people don't like my content, that's fine, there were people who would come out of nowhere and make comments about my hands and be like, oh, your hands are disgusting. I'm like, okay, because you can see my hand in the video. Or they could hear me breathing through my respirator and make some comment about me having asthma and how I was probably going to die, because that's what it sounded like. And then I had people with using the acronym go kill yourself. And that one was probably the hardest, because lots of people, especially in BC, we deal with seasonal depression. So to have people constantly telling you that what you're making is invaluable and that you should go die was really hard. And it was, I think the most striking thing for me though, is that most of these comments were coming from quote unquote children. So we're talking early teens, and that's really scary when I think about my own experience growing up. I didn't have to deal with that. The worst thing that happened is I posted a poem that somebody wrote on a website that I made in high school, and then that person was sad and then I took it down. So but there was never any malicious intent behind anything. When I was bullying happened to your face when I was in high school. Didn't happen behind closed doors on the internet or through Instagram or just through text, even. That wasn't a thing.
Mm-hmm. So having had that experience with social, you've still chosen to make it a huge part of your work. So as you think about social so often, what would you change about social media now? And does that play into your art at all in terms of commenting on what you think should change?
I am still always trying to figure out social. So despite the fact that I kind of, my day job is in marketing and communications and content creation, I still am constantly trying to figure it out. So social to me is ever evolving, and there's always something new. And what's interesting is, having seen platforms come and go, I'm actually mildly surprised by how long the current platforms have actually lasted. It would be nice if there was a level of ambiguity around your identity on social again. I think that being able to have some form of privacy online would be really interesting. But as we've seen through some of those platforms like 4chan or 8chan, having that level of ambiguity is not necessarily creating a positive place.
I think. But Sarah doesn't comment on what she thinks should change about social through her art. Instead, she paints part of her life she normally wouldn't put on social.
I don't really address any of that in my work because I'm really taking the most personal aspects of my life and making them as public as possible. but most of the stuff that I paint about isn't on social. So it's my life through the lens of social.
So it's not, you're not necessarily replicating what you're putting on social. It's kind of the pieces of you that you keep away from social, more so to yourself and like the people who are close to you.
A little bit, yeah. Some of the paintings are definitely, they speak to very personal experiences in my life. And the way that they're portrayed as is as if they were posted on social.
At the same time, the messages in Sarah's work are also universal. The last piece she showed me in her studio speaks to that.
Oh, and there's one other piece that's finished here. Also pink. Surprise! this one is a straight-on portrait. And then there's a caption at the bottom that reads, "Reading through your messages is my favorite way to die," which is actually a song lyric from a Kay Flay song, but also real feels. the amount of times people like read through messages with somebody like after a fight or after like a relationship goes sour or whatever the case may be, that you need to dwell on the things that were said between you and that person. Because that's really that what that's about. And the image was actually a total accident. So when I was taking images for another painting, this one was taken as like, I was like getting the camera ready and I wasn't ready and it took the photo. And then I was like, oh, that'll make a good painting. So some things are really like natural and easy and others take like a full blown like mini set photo shoot, very like influencer style where you have somebody like fluffing, but I do everything myself. They are actually selfies. So whether it's self timer or like selfie stick, it's all selfies. And most of them are taken on my phone.
Sarah has less than a day to show these pieces that transform a cell phone selfie into fine art.
One day made sense in the way that it's referencing the story, the disappearing story, the like throwaway into the void, but it's also logical in terms of being an independent artist.
Conceptually, Sarah's show is like a social media story. It only lasts for one day. Then the paintings come off the walls and get stored. It's ephemeral. But a one-day show is also practical. It means Sarah can avoid extra staffing, longer event licenses, and taking time off of her day job.
Instead, I was like, I'll throw everything I have into this night, and I'll just like get a liquor license for a way longer time, and like, let's make it a party. Let's make it a place to be and like have fun and drink and like experience something that can only be experienced in person. So I have my hands in like every aspect of this show. So the title wall will also be a selfie wall, because you cannot have a show about selfies at the close of Leo season and think that you can get away without a selfie wall. So so I've got that. I've got my bartenders have everything set with colors that coordinate with my work. I have a playlist that has sound bites in between songs that I have like created myself that you wouldn't be able to listen to on Spotify outside of the show because they're local files, so they're not available for a public download. Just every little aspect, whether it's the vinyl and the curation to the experience that I'm hoping to create, I've got my fingers in all of it.
What do you hope people will take away from the show at the end of the day?
I guess my goal always is having an experience with my work that feels relatable. So not necessarily like somewhat universal, but also being able to look at it and be like, man, I know what that feels like. And that level of almost empathy, but also feeling like it could be you, or man, I did that, or I really feel that, or like that's a mood. Anything like that, where people feel some sort of connection to the work based on their own experience. So bringing their own life choices into the show and then seeing that, oh, I'm not actually alone in any of these choices. This seems actually like it happens to everybody.
Was there anything else that you wanted to add about the show specifically that we didn't talk about, or not even show specific? But...
I think that we've covered pretty much everything. I mean, ultimately, there is just an experience to be had that night. And I will share the show online, but it just, the experience won't be the same, because you can't create an online gallery that will react the same way to seeing not only like the buzz from the crowd and the music and the effects that are in the paintings and all of that. It's just when you're surrounded by people, it's kind of like the concert idea. You're all experiencing something together, and that experience can't be replicated online.
Love/Madness takes place this Friday night, August 23rd, at the Arts Factory at Main Street and Industrial Avenue. The show is free, and for more information, you can check out the Facebook event, Love/Madness Art Show and Party.